This morning, we are going to open the book of 1 Corinthians. So if you have your Bible or your tablet or your phone or whatever it is that you read the Bible on, if you could just have it ready, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this morning, we are going to explore the topic of unity or division, depending on which side of the fence you kind of stand. So unity or division. And I'm calling this morning, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? I want to explore with you the divisions that Paul addresses in the church in Corinth and how what he says about unity and what Jesus says about unity can be applied in our lives, in our church, in our family today. But before I do, I'd quite like to pray. Haley's prayed for me. I'd like to pray for you. Because the message of unity or division is actually quite a difficult one to land well. Because actually, in all of us, there may be something this morning that God wants to deal with around unity or division. And I want us to do a little exercise this morning, which is called heart dredging. And in order to do that well, I want us to pray, and I want us to be open to the Holy Spirit. I can say lots of things. It's actually the impartation of the Holy Spirit that brings revelation of the truth. So let's just pray, shall we? And I'm going to pray for you as we start. So let's just be open. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak into our hearts this morning. If there is anything in us that you want to deal with this morning around unity or division, any pain, any hurt, any stuff, Lord, would you just put your finger on it in the next 20 minutes or so. Lord, not to bring it up so we can then sit on it and bury it, but to bring it up so we can deal with it, we can address it, we can give it to you, and we can move on from it. For your glory's sake, and for the benefit of ourselves and this wonderful family. Amen. Amen. So, before I start looking at what the divisions were that Paul addresses, I just want us to focus for a moment on what unity is. Just think for a moment. If I say the word unity to you, what do you think about? What's the first thing that comes into your head? For me, it's the fact that God planned unity to be at the very core of the universe and his church. The ultimate expression of unity is that of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. During Jesus' ministry, he touches on this a number of times, particularly the relationship with his Father. He describes in John's Gospel, John 10, 30 and 38, he describes this intimate relationship with the Father. He says, I and the Father are one. And a bit later, the Father is in me and I am in the Father. And Jesus sets out this oneness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's out of that unity, out of that oneness, that the universe is created. Life is sustained. But also the gospel and the church are birthed. So it's with that backdrop of unity in mind, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Paul writes his letter to the Corinthian church, a letter that is written to clarify a number of issues, but also begins by addressing divisions that were emerging in the early church. So just a very quick recap on the Corinthian church. Paul visits Corinth on his second missionary journey. It's a Greek city within the Roman Empire. Huge, lots and lots of issues around sexual immorality. He remained there for about a year and a half before he went on to Ephesus. And this young church in Corinth, as Paul left and was in Ephesus, he starts to hear things about the influence of the world around the church, coming into the church and influencing the church. And this is the letter that he writes to try and speak into some of this. So would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. We're just going to read some verses from 10 down to about 14. This is what he says right at the start of his letter. I appeal to you. This is not telling off. This is a father's heart. When you read the Greek, it's a father's heart. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some of you from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Another says, I follow Apollos. Listen to this. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Wow. So what was the issue in the Corinthian church that Paul speaks into? He spends four chapters, the first four chapters of this letter, speaking into it. Well, you don't need to know too much about the ancient world to know that they loved a good debate. They loved a good debate, and they viewed themselves as the thinkers of the civilized world, and for good reason. You listen to some of these names. Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, the philosopher, not the Brazilian footballer. Pythagoras. Guys, these are Greek thinkers, Greek philosophers. And in the days that Paul's writing, in the days before, there were these great Greek philosophers. And people would kind of associate with one of them or another. So there would be Plato's school of thought. And Plato would have this little kind of fan club around him. And then there'd be Pythagoras. And there'd be a whole load of other people who would go, yeah, Pythagoras, he's the one. And he'd have his little fan club. And Paul takes the first chunk of this letter to deal with several moral problems and divisions as people formed in the church similar fan clubs to what had gone on outside the church. They were proclaiming themselves followers of Paul or Apollos or Cephas or Christ. And you think, well, yeah, I would have been a follower of Christ. That would have been me. But we'll come on to why that was such a well-criticized view by Paul. Paul absolutely slates them because they weren't really following Christ for the right reasons. I've got four people who are going to come out here. So could my volunteers come out and sit on one of these chairs for me and put one of these labels around their necks? Let me just have a look at you all just to see which is most. Yeah, Michael, definitely. Yeah, Alan, that's you. I'm going to give that one to you, and I'm going to give you that one. Now, I need to sit you in a certain order, okay? So could I have Paul? Paul, could you sit here? Cephas, could you sit here for me? No, actually there. Apollos, if you could sit there for me. Christ, at the end, okay? This is exactly what these four people would have looked like. Scriptural, okay? There were those who followed Paul, and Paul had founded the church. He was the kind of founding father. This is Paul, okay? And obviously, he is the one writing the letter. Then there was this young man, Apollos. Now, in the Bible, he is described as being kind of eloquent, okay? And I'll just read you what it says in Acts 19. It says this, it says, a learned man, okay, Sean, you can kind of grow a bit, a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scripture. He spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. He remained in Corinth when Paul went to Ephesus. So that was Apollos. Then there was Peter, or Cephas, the disciple who Jesus had called Rock. Rock. Those who aligned themselves in the Corinthian church to the Rock did so because, hey, he hadn't been with Jesus. He wasn't a disciple. He hadn't been with Jesus. He'd been with Jesus. He'd been with Jesus. He's got to be the man. So they kind of aligned themselves to him because he had personally walked in Jesus' footsteps. You know? So we're going to align ourselves with him. Then there was the final faction. And I use that word carefully because they were starting to kind of divide into camps. The Paul camp, the Cephas camp, the Apollos camp. Real division within the church. So there was this group that aligned themselves to Christ. They overestimated the importance and value of having seen Christ in the flesh and therefore showed contempt for these others. The very name Christ, by which unity in the Godhead comes, had been degraded by this group as an exclusive party badge of a narrow section of the church. And Paul gets most cross with those people who are using the name of Christ as a divider. You know, in addressing the divisions that built up around these guys weren't the ones making the divisions. It was the groups within the church that kind of came around them. And in addressing these divisions, Paul exposes what's at the root, what's in the very heart of the people. And what he says is this: the very root of your problem is pride. Because the people who had come through this Greek society and into the church still had their eyes on external things like eloquence. They still had their eyes on external things that brought division, like man's wisdom and standing in society. And Paul explains that in Christ, those things just don't matter. Let's just be clear for a moment. Paul, when he calls the church into unity, isn't saying that everyone in the church has to agree with everyone else on everything. What sort of coffee we're having this morning? The little things, actually, you're never going to get 100, 150, 200, 500 people agreeing on everything. But what he is saying is that the most important person is Jesus. And his church, is Christ divided? Jesus not worn as a badge by some at the exclusion of others, but that we are all in Christ, all part of his body. And is Christ divided? Is his body divided? It's not about Paul. He did his part laying the foundations of the church in Corinth. It's not about Apollos. He built on those foundations, as did Cephas. But Paul reminds the church in chapter 3, verse 6, it's God who makes it grow. It's God who makes the seed grow. When our focus is on Jesus, things are different. We see things differently. We see people differently. We see issues differently. When we realize what Christ has done, what Christ has given, you know, he gave up everything. He gave up glory. He gave himself in our place. He won everything. He defeated death. He won us back to the Father. Paul's saying, when you realize what Christ has done, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It changes everything. When we begin to understand how much Jesus loves us. When we begin to understand how much Jesus loves others, those around you, those in front of you and next to you and beside you, that's inside the church as well as outside. We begin to understand that we are called to be salt and light. We love people. And we begin to understand our mission, our call to take the good news into our schools and colleges and places of work and neighborhoods. I'm sure that most of what I've said already, you'd probably agree with. Yeah? Great. It's always a bonus. But actually, it's not particularly challenging. Because when you're talking about things that happened 2,000 years ago in a church in Greece, about apostles that we've never met and only read about, it's a bit depersonalized. But when I say, what about you? What about you? Is there anything in you, in us, in any of us, that the Lord wants to touch this morning over this issue of unity or division. Anything he wants to challenge you with, any heart attitude that it may not be causing obvious divisions in the church now. It might do, given the right set of circumstances in the future. Do you carry any pride, believing that your way or your opinion is the right one and everyone else who thinks anything else is wrong? That's pride. Are there seeds of offense in you? Offense towards anyone else in this body or anyone else that you deal with. Sometimes division isn't always in the public arena like it was in the church in Corinth. Sometimes it's in our hearts. But it is there nonetheless, and it eats away at us. Let me tell you a personal story. Years ago, when this kind of camp thing happened in a place called Harrogate in North Yorkshire, I felt, a picture that the Lord gave me for Salt and Light as a family. And the picture was this. I saw the Big Top. If you've ever been, we go to the kind of a Big Top and we all worship together. It's amazing. We all kind of face the stage at the front. And I just felt the Lord say that he wanted to turn Salt and Light from being kind of inward looking as an organization to outward looking. And the picture was literally of me saying to, you know, giving this prophetic word of turn, so that we're all, instead of facing inward, we're all facing outward. And I prayed about it and I weighed it up. I spoke to Vic about it. And then I went to Steve Thomas with it. Because it's quite a big word, isn't it? When you're talking about salt and light as a family, you know, turn, outward focus, da-da-da. And Steve Thomas said, it's probably for your church, Tim. Go back to Vic. And I felt he was wrong. But I honoured the guy and I didn't deliver it. And you know what? I carried what I felt was his wrong. I carried that in me for a long time. To the point where every time I saw Steve Thomas, something kind of rose up inside me. And I saw him quite a lot. And that was a problem. And you know what? That was my offense. Steve was just doing what he thought was right. It was my offense. I carried it. I had to deal with it. And I did. I didn't go running to Steve, said, you've offended me, Steve. He wouldn't have known. I dealt with it in here. Because I had to. So what about you? And what about us as a church? Is there anything in us as a body that we need to address regarding unity? Oneness, togetherness. Maybe it's not obvious. Maybe it's subtle divisions. But I want to raise the stakes a little bit this morning. Can you just take yours off for me? I have some more signs. If you take yours off for me. Suddenly becomes a little bit personal, doesn't it? Christ, you can leave yours on. You remain eternal, you're fine. Vic, our pioneering father, who still inspires us. Almost 78 years old, and he's just gone to Nepal this morning. I did think about him when I saw the snow coming down. You know, still doing what God has called him to do. Mark, the eloquent orator. who built on those foundations. T and H, that's Tim and Heidi. A bit hot-headed at times, a bit like Peter. Made lots of mistakes and continue to make lots of mistakes. But you know what? Called to lead the church and prepared to get out the boat at times to do it. You know, all of us, like Paul, Apollos, Peter, we're very different. Vic is different to me. Mark is different to Vic. We're different in what we bring and who we are. But you know what? We're all human. We all make mistakes, will make mistakes, have made mistakes. We will, I can guarantee you this, disappoint you, let you down and hurt you. The door's there. Yeah, they're making a tea, it's fine. You know what, guys? We will do that unintentionally. But it's painful nonetheless. How do you deal with that when it happens? Because it will, and it has. Maybe some of us carry offense that goes way back. Maybe we carry offense from different churches where we left. Maybe we never dealt with those things. Maybe we've carried it here. Maybe we do entertain without knowing that spirit of division, that pride that Paul talks about. Maybe we have placed people on pedestals, just like the early church did. Vic would never have done it like that. Mark, oh, he wouldn't have behaved that way. Suddenly personal, isn't it? Is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? Do my words or my thoughts, spoken or unspoken, things in my heart, do they unite or divide? Are the people I need to forgive and situations I need to move on from, are they here? Have I put people in Christ's place? We are his body, WCC in the gold mine in 2018. Let's love Christ and one another. Let's be in unity as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are unified. Let's remember we are all united in Christ. And let's hold Jesus above everything and everyone, because he is love and he calls us to love. So the church in Corinth and Warsaw, Paul speaks to us, and this is what he says. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It's not for weddings. That's for the bride. Us. His church. Love is patient. Love is kind. Are you? Am I? So, guys, in responding to this message this morning, we need to overcome the pride that is in us that would hold an offense, the hurt and pain that gives us justification for carrying it and wearing it like a medal of honor. and not letting go of it. I was hurt. That person really hurt me. We are all in Christ. We are together His bride, His body, His church. Is Christ divided? So let's deal with anything that might in any way tarnish the bride, bring discord to the body, allow pride to grow and divide us in our hearts. Let's bring glory to Christ in our talk, how we hold each other, and in our love. And you know what, guys? As we move forward in 2018 together, let's shape a culture within our church, this body, where love covers, love forgives, love perseveres, where we can be honest and real with each other, not to justify the pain, but to deal with it and move on from it in order to bring glory to the one who gave it all for us. Amen. Let's stand together. Can we just give our little guys a clap who have been... Thank you, guys. Bless you. Let's just be quiet for a moment. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit, who's been working here this morning, just to speak into us. Is there pride? Is there offense that may go back years and years and years ago to the very foundations of this church? Guys, we can't build on that. We're called to build on love. So let's just respond. And if there is anything that the Holy Spirit has just been putting His finger on in your life, maybe this is the time to deal with it. So Holy Spirit, would You just come now? Thank You for the love that You have for Your bride. Thank You that we, Your church, receive the love that You lavish on us. Thank You that we are in Christ, that the person next to us, in front of us, behind us, they're in Christ. Is Christ divided? So, Lord, we thank You for the love and unity that we find here. But if there is anything in us, anything in our hearts that You need to deal with, Lord, we just hear Your call today and we just lift it before You and lay it at Your feet. Any hurt that we carry, any offense, any pride. Because, Lord, we don't want anything to inhibit the flow of Your Spirit, Your presence with us, and the unity that You so desire for us.